Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Thank you. In the pastoral chat group, I texted yesterday, "Happy Chinese New Year." Then I added, "You all sure happy lah? You all don't need to preach." So it is a privilege to bring to you the message from Romans 3 this morning. And I'm just going to give a... It's not going to be that long, but I hope that you will continue to look into the text and to pull out from there God's great love and God's kindness to us as His creation. Now, recently, in upholding some people in prayer, I wasn't exactly sure how to pray. Often when we come together, there are certain prayers that we just automatically utter because, you know, that's what we think God wants. I knew there was a problem within a relationship that hearts were affected and hearts were in pain. But the word that came was reconciliation. I came to reconcile man to God. I also came to reconcile you to each other. In prayer, we do not need to know the full story and the details to know God's heart. As people, we want to know who was right, who is wrong, and then we pray for the person who is right, lah, right? And we pray for the person who is wrong to repent and things like that. What could have been done differently? In our prayer to God, we tell God all these things, right? We want to be just, and we sometimes want to find the justification for the actions or the worldview or the perspective that we see happening. As I say all this and I was thinking how to pray, it struck me that God already knows. Everything that we think we need to tell Him, He already knows, and He knows better than us. He's also just, and He will justify. His desire for His children is to be reconciled. Now, it doesn't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that we ignore the details of a situation or wave away wrongdoings. God doesn't do that. He's not a chin chai God. The process of reconciliation, of forgiveness, may take more time than we expect, and it will definitely be sometimes a difficult process. Some situations are more difficult than others. But as intercessors, as children of the Most High God, interceding for those in trouble, our role is to seek God's heart and pray it, to desire it, and then to testify what He has done. Who is this just person, and who is this justifier that we're talking about? There is only one. And let me read from you from Romans 3, verse 1 to 26. Then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the value of circumcision? Much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? I speak in a human way. By no means. For then how could God judge the world? But if through my lie God's truth abounds to His glory, why am I being condemned as a sinner? And why not do evil that good may come? As some people slanderously charge us with saying, their condemnation is just. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, and no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is on their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. No one is righteous. Paul's first stage in developing the theme of universal sin and guilt is to justify the need for people to be saved. He does this by showing that all stand under the judgment and wrath of God because of their sinfulness. Now, Pastor Yu Yong's sermon a few weeks back covered the sins of the Gentiles, that is, the non-Jewish people, or perhaps the Greeks, as you refer into in this passage. The root problem is a failure to recognize the existence and character of God despite his revelation in nature. Paul paints a very dark picture of human ignorance and folly, often resulting in idolatry and also sins that Jews particularly found despicable. Now then, as Pastor Jeremy pointed out, the Jews had no issue with Paul's account of the Gentiles' way of life. "Preach it, brother," they probably said to Paul. "They are sinful and doomed for destruction." Until Paul points out that, hello, you also Jews are no better. They too were sinners, committing essentially the same kinds of sin as their Gentile cousins. The Jews thought that they were in better position because they had been given the law of Moses and they had fulfilled its requirements, notably that of circumcision. I wanted to find Pastor Jeremy's banana slide, but couldn't, to bring back memories of what the circumcision meant, to be set apart, to be kept away. But Paul points out that it's not the possession of the law, but the doing of it that matters. Paul points out that obedience is key, not just knowledge, but obedience. Now, at this point in chapter 3, he draws a conclusion that both Jews and Gentiles are under the same power of sin. He draws upon Scripture to paint a picture of universal sin. And while the primary point is that both groups of the people are sinners, it is implicit that the condemnation involves all individuals of both groups and not just some. In verses 11 to 18, it says, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Now, Paul is quoting the Old Testament scriptures, the sacred text that his Jewish readers would recognize and respect. His purpose is to show that his statements about every person being under sin is not a new idea. They themselves knew from the Old Testament scriptures that God says all are under sin. The last few verses drew upon Psalm 14. So the first part, and also at the bottom, draws upon Psalm 14, which indicates that God sees a universal trend in humanity towards sin and disobedience. And though we may be able to do good things, sometimes we all choose not to follow God's goodness all the time. What I mean, this means nobody, not one person, can be considered righteous according to their own efforts. Now, when I was in STM, Seminary Theology Malaysia, I was exposed to liturgy from different denominations. And there is one particular phrase in prayer in preparation for the Holy Communion that captured my attention. It says, "Forgive us for the evil we have done and for the good we have not done. Forgive us for the evil that we have done and for the good that we have not done." So often we think that being sinless is just refraining from doing evil. These words remind us that the sin of omission, that is not doing something good, is just as bad as the sin of commission. Have we done all the good that we can? Have we completed the good works that God has prepared for us to do? When we choose not to follow God's goodness, we cannot be considered righteous. The verse that follows, lists several ways people use our human body parts to express our sinful nature. Paul begins with the voice, quoting from Psalm 5, verse 9, where David declares that the throat of his enemies are open graves. Open graves. Now, this carries two ideas. First, in Jewish thinking, graves are tainted by death and are therefore corrupt. Anything from a grave, anything taken from a grave, would be ceremonially unclean. Secondly, the phrase could also mean that the effect of their words is death and decay. Also from Psalm 5, verse 9, Paul points to the tongue as a source of deception. The deception David referred to was flattery, a dishonest use of words. Paul moves from throat to tongue to lips, and a quote from Psalm 140, verse 3. There, David refers to evil men with the venom of asps, deadly snakes, under their lips. Under their lips or tongues? Under their lips, okay. In other words, words from the mouths of his enemies could quickly poison and kill. Paul's use of David's words here is meant to expand on David's original description. While David referred to his enemies' mouths, Paul is pointing to the sins of every single person who has ever lived. We all have used words, our mouths, for sinful purposes. That is who we are, apart from God's help and power. I have this t-shirt that says, I'm not just lazy, I'm super lazy. And whenever I wear the t-shirt, a lot of people say, "No, Pastor, it can't be you. It's not a right description of you." And I said, "No, this is who I am when I don't have the power of God. But every time you see me rajin, hardworking, you are seeing the manifestation of God's holy power through me to overcome that slothiness that I naturally am." Another example is me and Yu Yong, Pastor Yu Yong, a few days ago. We had a discussion about certain things, and then I was quite harsh with him. Then I left the room. It was on my mind for a long, long, long time. Okay, not that long, maybe about 10 minutes. Then I went back to the room, and I said, "Pastor, I'm very sorry. I was very harsh. Please forgive me." Before I could even say that final word, final sentence, my brother says to me, "Pastor, we've worked together so many times for so many years. I know that when you're harsh, it means you care." And I was like, "Hallelujah, you know. Okay. It's true. There's some truth in it. When I'm harsh with you, it means I care. But I wish it didn't have to come to me being harsh to show that I care." Perhaps my saving grace as a person is that I don't let myself get away with poor behavior. But I also share this account to highlight Pastor Yu Yong's grace and how he reflects God's kindness and understanding when even he is being sinned against. Apart from God's help and power, we are simply broken people hurting other broken people. With God's help and power, we find ourselves being reconciled, sharing our brokenness, and choosing to find a way forward together. After that conversation, he comes back to the office and I go like, "Pastor, how to preach this message?" And then we just banter again. With the help of God's power and love, we find ourselves being reconciled, sharing our brokenness, and truly finding a way forward. Paul is not saying that all have committed the same sins, but all have somehow or other failed to live up to the righteousness of God. It does not matter whether you failed by a great amount or a small amount, if you have not measured up to the standard required. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How do we know that we have sinned? The law reveals it. It follows that the law of Moses, that is the law given to the Jewish people, did not have the function of saving people in the sense of putting them right with God. It merely told them God's requirements. It did not enable them to keep the requirements. So the law shows that all have sinned and all have fallen short of God's glory and all cannot meet the mark and none is righteous in God's sight. What is to be done then? Because the wages of sin, of us falling short of this glory, is death. Yes, it's Chinese New Year Day too. We shouldn't talk about death or grave or things like that, but we need to realize that we are doomed to an eternal death in order to begin the solution finding of a heavenly reunion. So in our default mode to break the law and to refuse to do the law, the result is death. But is there a different route? Is there a different way? Is there a way to be reconciled to God and be reunited with Him? Yes, there is. What is it? We need to be justified. What does that mean? And who has the power to do so? Now, how many of you are taking exams this year? Anybody? Professional exams? So good. Nobody got exams this year. Okay. Oh, God. Okay. Auntie Joy waving there. She's got exams. Okay. Now, during exams, we would be asked a question. And sometimes there's these questions like, answer this question and justify your answer. What does this exam question require you to do when it says, please justify your answer? It's asking you to defend your answer, to explain your reasoning, and to affirm why your answer is true. Make your answer acceptable to the examiner. Justify it. In theology, to be justified means to be declared and made righteous in God, in the sight of God. Or in simpler words, to be made acceptable to God. To be justified means to be made acceptable to God. Now, this requires us to know what it is that God can or cannot accept. So we heard that the law was given by God, and hence, if we meet the requirements of the law, then God will certainly accept us. But we also heard that none are righteous and all are sinners, and nobody can meet the law's requirements on their own. The law itself does not enable us to keep it. In fact, the law shows us that we have failed God, who is holy and perfect and cannot accept us. It's like the answer sheet at the back of the book that doesn't help you to learn. It just tells you your answer is wrong. But how do you get the correct answer? Don't know, right? It just says answer wrong. The law doesn't save us. We cannot make ourselves acceptable. God cannot accept us. Then how? Now, normally in exams, there is one person who can make the difference. The person who set the questions. In the same way, God, who gave us the law, is the one who can make the difference. And this is where I'll stop the analogy, because there is no equivalent of Jesus Christ in the exam world. God's law must be fulfilled. And in order for that to happen, something or someone must satisfy the wrath of God, must turn away that wrath of God. Something or someone must be the propitiation. In Romans 3:25, we are told that Jesus Christ was put forward by God as a propitiation by His blood. Through Him, we have been made right, justified by His grace. And it is a gift to be received by faith. We cannot see it, we cannot touch it, we cannot earn it. Our hope to be made right with God, to be made acceptable to God, to be justified, is through Jesus Christ. And it is a gift of grace to be received by faith, not of works, but by faith. Jesus Christ is the just justifier. Unlike school exams and persuading teachers, God cannot give pity points when it comes to our behavior and lives. I don't know if you remember, but last time when we mark our own exams, we would go to the teacher, please, teacher, please, please, can, I got the word there, please give, 1 point, 1 point. I know full marks is 5, but give me 1 point, can not? Pity points. We always went to teachers, and sometimes the teacher give you, okay, 1 or half. Yeah, you know, your begging actually paid off. But when it comes to God's righteousness, He cannot give pity points when it comes to our behavior and lives. Oh, actually, you didn't mean to be rude. Okay lah, chin chai. Since you explained it so well, you can go heaven lah. Oh, true. It was rather inconvenient for you to step out and speak for that prisoner, even though the injustice was making your blood boil. Okay lah, since actually you had so much kind heart one, chin chai lah, I make you right by me. There is no chin chai in the law. There is no chin chai with God's expectation of them to be fulfilled. There is no chin chai justification just because we almost got it right or messed up just a bit or didn't mean it on hindsight. There is no chin chai, but there is Jesus Christ. He's the righteousness of God and He's just. And His blood was shed so that Jews and Gentiles would receive redemption from death. Jews and Gentiles would be forgiven for their sins, and Jews and Gentiles would be justified, made acceptable to God by faith, that is, by believing in Him, Christ Jesus. Now, this same gift is offered to us today because Jesus is the Son of God, His blood is sufficient to pay for all our sins, for all the sins of the world, that of the past, the present, and the future. He is sufficient for all time. So what now? So that we've known all this, that Jesus Christ is the just justifier and He has already paid for everything that we need to be reconciled to God. So what? What do we do? Now it's Chinese New Year, so I'm going to give us 3 applications in the Chinese New Year theme. First one is kui ka pei, okay? Love letters. It's for you to remember. After, when you go back to your home and you eat kui ka pei, you'll remember this, okay? If you're a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, perhaps your love has grown a little cold. You go through the motions because you've been taught that it's good Christian practice. I invite you, as you go back, would you reflect on how deep, how wide the love of God is for you? Read His love letter, the Bible. Read it. Rediscover the depth of His love by articulating again what having a just justifier means to you. You no longer have to pay the penalty of death. You can be reconciled to the Most High God. You can be reconciled to each other. Would you read His love letter to you and write a love letter to Him? It's a holiday season. Take 10 minutes, maybe 30, to write, to craft that love letter to God and tell Him what Him being your justifier means. The second one is the ong lai. It's the pineapple tart. For those of you who don't speak Hokkien, pineapple is ong lai, and it means prosperity come. Okay? We're calling the prosperity to come. So in Christian jargon, maybe it's blessings we come. We all seek blessings. We all want the ong lai to come. We seek blessings, heavenly gifts. What better way than to seek the giver through one of the simplest means He has bestowed upon us? Prayer. Pastor Alexa mentioned just now that Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day coincide this year. Come for the service. Remember the greatest blessing the lover of your soul gives. Justification, redemption, through His blood. All of this is yours by His grace. All this blessing is yours through faith. And finally, the kueh bangkit. Do you all know this kueh bangkit or not? This white colour. Yeah, okay. What's the problem with this kueh bangkit? It's very hard to make, okay? I just let you know, it's very hard to make. But do you know what's the problem with this kueh bangkit? Huh? Too white. Okay, no. dry. Okay? And what happens when you put something dry in your mouth and you eat? Sticks, throat. Then when you speak that time, it all comes out, right? So that's the problem with the kuih kebangkit. I love the kuih kebangkit, but after you eat it, you don't talk. Okay? You keep quiet for a while. Eating this biscuit makes it very difficult to speak. And it's likely that you're catching up with many people this season, friends and relatives that you hardly see. Brothers and sisters, would you make your words count? What will you say to impart life? Let not our mouths be like open graves, spewing out decay and death. Venom that hurts. But as we eat the kuih bangkit, let us be careful with our words this season, because that's where we fall. Many times simply, and then after we have to go and make amends, right? So three kuih mui, love letters. Go and read God's love letter to you and write one to Him. The Ong Lai, let's seek the blessing of God. Let's seek Him, the giver, not the gift. And finally, the kuih bangkit. Let's be careful with what we say and how we speak it, because we are supposed to impart life, not death and decay. Yes, we are sinners, but we are saved by grace through the good works that our Heavenly Father has prepared beforehand. Yes, we are sinners, prone to evil deeds, but the Holy Spirit in you gives you victory upon victory. Often we think that God is on our side, proving that we are right. But no, we are sinners. He's not on your side to prove that you are right. He's on your side to pay for your wrong. What advantage has the Jew? And what is the value of circumcision? A lot. But even with that advantage, they can't win. Are they better off? Are the Jews better off? No. They fail in fulfilling the law just like the rest of the world. All are doomed except that God had sent His Son Jesus Christ as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. Jesus Christ was sent not as a verb, He was sent as a noun. He is the payment. He is the substance that turns away God's wrath from us. Therefore, no one can boast. We each receive justification by grace and grace alone. I've asked the worship team to sing this one song to remind us that everything was done so that you would come to God. Whether you're broken, whether you're victorious, everything was done so you could come. Justification is available. Redemption is available. Forgiveness is yours if you believe in Christ Jesus.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, make disciples.